Thank you and be seated, please. What a great joy it is for me to welcome you to worship at Conyers First on this New Year's Sunday. Today is the 12th day since Christmas Day. We call it the Day of Epiphany. Epiphany is a Greek word which means revelation, manifestation. And we remember on this day that God revealed that the Messiah was born to the wise men who followed the star. Remember? That's our text for the morning. My great prayer for Conyers First in 2013 is that we'll be a star that draws women and men to this place to find the power of Messiah. And then, like the wise men, our first world missionaries, we go and tell others far and wide that He has come, that He is born, that He has the power for restoration, He has the power for new life, He has a purpose for each one of us. And life is not really worth living until Christ comes. I'm drawn in the account of the wise men to the fact that they went home a different way. Hey, wouldn't that be great if all of us could say that when we met Jesus, we went home a different way? The way of hope, the way of victory, the way of possibility, the way of peace. That's my prayer for Conyers First in 2013. And I invite you to join us on the journey. It'd mean a lot to me if you'd look in your worship folder and find the white connection card, because I just want to be connected with you. If you're a guest in our presence, we'd especially like for you to fill out the front completely so we can simply reach out and respond to you. Hold on to the card and we'll look at it again at the end of the service. So much good happening in the life of our church. Thank you to the volunteers who made Family Promise a possibility this last week. Two homeless families found refuge and hope in this great place because of your faithfulness, because the building is here, because the utilities are available, and because your hand and hearts were involved. We help people take a step towards security and hope in the name and spirit of Jesus Christ, and I'm really, really proud of you for that. The back of the worship folder, for the third week, I'm asking for help in our children's department. I don't know the last time I've had to ask three times. I'm challenged by that. We've got growth in our children's department that most churches would jump up and down and sing the hallelujah chorus about. And one of the needs in meeting the overall ministry of the church, of the children's department, is having some loving people look after 3- and 4-year-olds. Now, lesson plans are already available, but I've discovered with 3- and 4-year-olds, you need two qualifications: the capacity to love and the capacity to speak the name of Jesus. I wonder how many of you here know how to love and how many of you here can speak the name of Jesus. Then you qualify. You've graduated into the teaching ministry of the church. No, I'm real serious. I love these little kids. I'm so proud of Stanley and Renee. I'm so proud of our children's ministry staff and volunteers. But we really need help. So I invite you to consider that, pray about that, and be a part of an answer to that prayer need. It was kind of fun last week when we had only one service at 11 o'clock. All the folks who said to me, who are all these people? Who are all these different people? Well, because we're three different worship hours. We don't know each other, but I want you to know that this church and the staff does know, and we care. And I thank you so very much for rescuing me today. These names represent hearts and hands of people that are a part of the body of Christ that we're praying for and we're lifting up and we're encouraging at their point of need. And I want you to do the same thing with me. Now, may I brag on you? Would it be too prideful? Would you dismiss me as a prideful person if I bragged on you this morning? Would you? Thank you. Just go ahead. You together made the year of mission and ministry in 2012 an incredible victory for this great church. Through very difficult economic times, through very difficult political times, financial times, whatever you want to say, we had a tremendous year of ministry because of the faithfulness of the people of this church. And when you put all together what you gave in 2012, we exceeded $1,371,000. But that doesn't even begin to account for the thousands upon thousands that were given for missions beyond our budget. Now, why do those numbers matter? Those numbers make ministry possible. Could we have hosted two homeless families throughout this week, making Conyers First a 24-hour-a-day church, if we did not have utilities and a mortgage that's paid up to date and all the rest? Those numbers represent the capacity for ministry. And you helped make ministry happen in 2012. And I am so proud of you and so grateful for you. Let's do it again in 2013. Would you join me as we pray together? Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who reveals yourself as faithful and true, the one who was and is coming again, we greet you at the beginning of this new year with great joy because you have revealed your nature to us as faithful and true. We base our relationship with you on your invitation to us that we can always find in you a new beginning, a new start. God, we pray that you would help us let go of the things that did not go well in 2012 to make peace with our past, that we might enter into this new year with a sense of anticipation and hope that you were always up to something good, that you were the one that makes all things new. God, give us eyes of faith to see in 2013 what you would have us to do in alleviating the suffering of the world. What you would have us to do to speak a word of hope to someone who is lost and alone and in despair. That you would help us to see our part of lifting this community to a better place, praying for the world, being agents of peace. We thank you for today that we can be together. We thank you for the one on the right and the left. And we thank you that in this service, you are going to reveal yourself to us in word and sacrament, through music and the quietness of this place. We want to open our hearts in a fresh way to you, great God, and welcome you as our Savior and Lord in 2013, and offer our hands and our hearts for your use. God, I lay my hands upon these names that we've called today because each one matters. And I pray through the power of the great physician that health and wholeness will be restored to each of them. God, I pray for our missionary men and women that are an extension of the ministry of this church for protection and provision as they serve. We lift up our military men and women, particularly those related to this church, for health and strength that they serve this great country. God, we pray for peace on earth where there seems to be no peace. May violence end. May the threat of war be done away with. May we lay down our arms that we might embrace one another with peace. We pray this, Lord, not because of our need is urgent, not because we are worthy or deserving, but because you have revealed yourself as the God of provision and peace. You have revealed yourself as the God of justice and possibility. You have revealed yourself as the God of love. And so with confidence, we join our voices and pray as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As you prepare your offering this morning, let me note a couple of things. In your worship folder is our Honduras mission wish list. Did you know that this church has been actively involved in Honduras for 16 years? Did you know that Honduras is one of the poorest of all the Central American countries? And that through Honduras Outreach, which happens to be based in Decatur, Georgia, we have been a part of helping people in real need. I mean, helping people who do not have indoor plumbing. Helping people who cook over fire stoves without proper ventilation in their brick huts. We're talking about people that don't know what pavement is. And I invite you to help us prepare the way for our mission team this year in February. When you come for Holy Communion this morning and you're all invited, you will notice as you go back to your place that there are offering baskets at the end of the tables because we receive an offering at Holy Communion to help with our Good Samaritan ministry. Did you know that you helped last year give almost $15,000? $15,000 that is given by direct gift to those in need in our community. Do we have any Good Samaritan volunteers here this morning? Did you know that there are 6 or 8 trained people in our church that meet the face of the poor 3 days a week? Or is it 2 days? 3 days a week, I believe it is. That 2 days, excuse me, meet the poor of the streets of Conyers and Rockdale County face to face. Pray with them and help see if this church can meet an immediate need to help them take a step up. $15,000 almost was given at Holy Communion this last year to make that possible. I hope you'll make a special gift additional to your offering this morning as you receive Holy Communion. Now let's join together with thanks to God and offer Him our heartbeats of love in negotiable form. I long for the people called Methodists to be a praying people. I long for the people of Conyers First United Methodist Church to be a praying people. And I long for you to be a praying person, because prayer is our great connecting point with the Almighty. Prayer is the conduit through which the Holy Spirit of God is made known to us with power and provision. Now, I know very few Christians that would say to me, "I don't want to pray." I don't know many people like that. But the question that I've often asked is, how do I do it? How can I develop a life of prayer that really matters? How can I be connected with God in a way that feels confident and secure, feeling like my prayers are getting above the ceiling? I want to begin this new year with a confident prayer that the people of Conyers First are going to be a praying people, with the confident hope that you are going to be a praying person in 2013. And this morning I want us to think together about the principle of spiritual persistence as we pray. I fundamentally believe that the word in the New Testament that we translate for pray or prayer or praying has less to do with speaking and more to do with seeking. Less to do with what we say and more to do with an experience of being in God's presence. So I want us to think today about the concept of prayer, not so much as speaking, but seeking. Now, too many of us rush into our prayer life and pray prayers like this. I call them emergency prayers. Oh God, I need. Oh God, please help. Oh God, I'm in trouble. Oh God, where are you? Now, I'm convinced that God hears all of our prayers. I'm convinced of that. But I wonder, is there a way that we can craft our prayer life that is more meaningful than simply a series of emergency prayers? I'm impressed in learning about prayer from St. Augustine. St. Augustine was a 4th century bishop of the church father. And he writes in his magnificent spiritual autobiography, The Confession, something about his own struggle with prayer. And he asks this question, or he speaks this statement: Lord, teach me to know and understand which of these should be first in prayer, to call on you or to praise you. And likewise, to know you or to call upon you. Those who seek the Lord shall praise Him, for those who seek shall find Him, and those who find Him shall praise Him. Here's the thought that I've been working on in my own prayer life. We pray stronger, we pray more meaningful prayers when we focus first on praising God, acknowledging who God is and what God has done before we rush to the urgency of our needs. Now, I do believe God hears all of our prayers, but I believe our experience of prayer is stronger and more confident, more effective, when we intentionally acknowledge who God is and what God has done, rather than responding to the urgency of my need. This morning, I want us to think together about the experience of the wise men And I'd like for you to open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 2. And here again, this incredible account that you probably learned as a little boy, a little girl, learning about the story of Christmas. The experience of the wise men clearly happens long after the birth of Jesus. We think perhaps 2 years later. It's an incredible encounter. And it's an incredible experience of spiritual persistence. Let me share the account with you from Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of Herod the king, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them exactly what time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for this child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When the star appeared, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their gifts and treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country another route. Now, these wise men, magi is the proper term, were Gentiles. They were not Jewish people. They were Gentiles who were probably from Persia, who were well-educated scholars, who studied the night sky, believing that God would reveal himself, God would break into human history, and there would be an alert given in the sky. A great star would appear. Now, it's interesting that these wise men were not believers, and yet they knew the Hebrew Scriptures. It was they, in Matthew 2, who told pagan King Herod of the prophecy of Micah, that Bethlehem, out of Bethlehem, would come a new ruler. Though these men were not believers, they understood the Hebrew Scriptures and that God would reveal himself as Messiah. And when they saw the star, they committed themselves with persistence to seek that star until they found Messiah. Now, most modern scholars would say they searched from about the 41st day of Jesus' birth until he was about 2 years old. Now, if you're cursed with certain gifts like I am, the gift of impatience, if you're cursed with the possibility of being discouraged the way I am, then seeking after something for nearly 2 years is no small task. Is it? To be faithful to seek, faithful to believe. And yet that's the witness of these pagan Gentiles. Because they believed in a God who wanted to make himself known. And so they were willing to persist in their seeking. Seeking, persistent seeking, is an important spiritual principle in the New Testament. Jesus himself said, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened." Matthew 7:7. But the construction of the Greek text there means ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. And when you do, the promise is made. Those who ask and keep asking will find. will be given. Those who seek and keep on seeking will find. Those who knock and keep on knocking, to them the door will be opened. Now, what's powerful to me about the process of seeking, powerful to me about the process of prayer, is this. Our prayers are all the more effective when we base them on God's revealed nature. Knowing who God is and what God has already done gives us power in praying. And this is the difference that it makes. Too often I hear good people pray a most unfaithful prayer. And it goes something like this. Oh God, I need. Oh God, I want. Oh God, she needs. Oh God, she wants. Oh God, he needs. Oh God, he wants. Grant it if it be thy will. You ever been tempted to pray that prayer? Sort of an out for you? See, the problem with that prayer is that indicates that we really don't know who God is. We really don't know God's nature. We're not really confident in who God is. The historic prayer pattern of the church always begins with who God is revealed and what God has done in history as the basis of our prayers. It's not about who we are, it's about who God is. For I've discovered in God's Word, I've discovered in my own life, that God's revealed nature is to make himself known to his people. God wants to be known. God's revealed nature is to hear our prayer and answer our prayer. God's revealed nature is to grant us the desires of our hearts. I wonder, when you pray, is your prayer guided more by your urgency, a need that you're feeling for yourself, for someone you love, for some circumstance that you're a part of? Or is your prayer based on the confidence of God's revealed nature, based on the confidence of who God is and what God has already done in human history? I believe it matters the way we ask. I believe it matters the way we seek. I believe it matters the way we knock. And my great hope this morning is that I can help begin a new way of praying in your life that with time and persistence will grant you a greater sense of strength and confidence in your prayer life. Hear me. Not because of you, but because of who God is and how God has revealed himself in human history. And this morning I'd like to share with you a prayer pattern. Hey, I'm a linear guy. Maybe you're not a linear. I'm a linear guy. Give me a path. Give me some guidance. I have found through the historic witness of the church a pattern for praying that has five elements to it. Now, I want you to hear me clearly. This is not legalistic. This is not you've got to do point A, B, C, and D for this to be valid. No, but it's an outline. It's a way of structuring the thoughts of our hearts as we reach out to the Almighty. And it is the ancient prayer practice of praying a collect, C-O-L-L-E-C-T. And this comes to us through our Anglo-Methodist heritage. Mr. Wesley loved to pray collects and, in fact, sent us a book of collects when the Methodist Church in America started in 1784. A collect is a concise, five-part structured prayer focusing on a single theme. Now, again, I share this with you today as a way of feeling more confident in your praying, giving you a sense that God is in the midst of your praying. And in praying this five-point pattern, being able to relax in his presence and seek the God who has already promised to reveal himself to you. Seek the God who has already promised to meet you at your point of need. Seek the God who promises to fulfill the desires of your heart. And these, very quickly, are the 5 points that I want us to think about this morning. A, beginning our prayer by addressing God either as Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, depending on what our particular need is. Secondly, attributing to God a particular character trait or action as the basis for our prayer. Third, presenting to God a petition. What is it that's on our heart? Fourth, naming what we want to see happen, boldly claiming what we believe God will do, and concluding the prayer with a word of doxology, a word of thanks, a word acknowledging that Jesus Christ is our mediator. We only have authority to pray because Jesus has bridged the gap between heaven and earth for us. Now, there are several examples of collect type praying in the New Testament. For instance, Acts chapter 1, 24 through 25. Note with me how these elements are present in this prayer. Acts 1, 24, 25. Judas has betrayed Jesus. There are now 11 disciples turned apostles, and they are seeking God to name a replacement for Judas, and it's down to two people. And here's the prayer that they offer. They prayed, Lord, You know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two You have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas has left to go where he belongs. Now, this doesn't happen to end with a closing doxology, but notice with me the first four attributes. They address God as Lord, as the sovereign one. Secondly, they attribute to Him something of value. You know everyone's heart. You're omniscient. Thirdly, already knowing everyone's heart, they can confidently make this petition. Show us which of these two You have chosen. And then they're clear about the intention. Why do we want to know? To take over this apostolic ministry which Judas left to go where he belonged. The Lord's Prayer is another example. Let's try to work it through together with these five elements. What's the form of address? Our Father, who art in heaven, the great, mighty, glorious One. What is the attribute? Hallowed be Thy name. Your name is majestic and mighty. In Your name, above every name, there is power. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. What's the prayer petition? Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? What's the intended result of God's kingdom coming? Give us the confidence of our daily bread, sustenance, and forgive us our trespasses. How? As we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation. Do not let us come to a time of spiritual trial, but deliver us from evil. And then the closing words of praise, the closing doxology. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Do you see how those five elements come together? A word of address, Our Father who art in heaven. An attribute or action, holy, hallowed, mighty, majestic is Your name. A petition, Your kingdom come, Your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. A specific result is desired. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And a conclusion of praise, for Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Here's an historic collect, the collect for purity. It's a collect that Mr. Wesley loved and sent for us to use in America. The address, Almighty God. The attribute, to whom all hearts are opened, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. The petition, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit. Why? What's the intention? that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. And what's the concluding response? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Do you know that I craft collects for you when I pray for you on Tuesday? Do you know how cool and nifty and easy it would be for me just to stack up all those cards that I get and simply say, God, you know what it says. Fix it. Amen. That could be my entire prayer time in 15 seconds. God, you know the need. God, I expect you to fix it. Amen. Now I can go on, you know, dust or vacuum or watch Oprah or Dr. Phil or, I mean, you know, get on with the busyness of the day. No, I take these prayers, requests that you give me, and I pray collects over them. For instance, I got a kind of an urgent email this week from someone who's really concerned about this person's mother and asked me to pray. And, you know, it'd be fine. I can say, sure, do it. Yeah. Great, done, prayer, done, prayer. No. I pulled my car over and I crafted a collect and returned the request. And this is what I wrote just right at that moment. Based on knowing who God is and knowing how God has acted, this was the collect that I wrote. The address, Lord Jesus Christ, the attribute. As you made provision for your blessed mother from the cross, remember he addresses Mary and says, Mary, behold your son, and addresses John and says, John, behold your mother. The petition, by the power of the cross, make provision for, and I inserted the person's name, this person's mother. What's the specific intention? What am I seeing through faith happening for this person's mother? By granting her release, rest, and restoration. And my concluding word, for her good and for your greater glory. Amen. Do you see how, in a very brief economy of words, I was able to speak into this need with confidence because God through Christ says, mothers matter. My mama mattered to me. And in his time of greatest need, he made provision for the Virgin Mary, didn't he? So I prayed out of that confidence that the same care and provision the Lord Jesus made for his mother, the Lord Jesus would make for this mother in her time of need. You see, I wasn't praying based on the urgency of my friend's need for my friend's mother. I felt that. But I was praying based on the confidence of who God is and how God has acted and revealed himself. Had someone after the first service come and asked me to pray for his sister who's undergoing a serious heart procedure in the morning. And oftentimes I'm surprised that people kind of are taken aback. When you ask me to pray for you, I'm going to stop and pray for you. So right there in that long line of people coming out of the sanctuary, I stopped to pray for him. And here was my collect, Lord Jesus Christ, great physician. The address and the attribute, right? Lay your healing hand upon, and I named the person, and upon the doctors, nurses, and technicians who will work with her tomorrow. Why? That her heart might be restored, her body regain strength, that she might be a witness for you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Do you see the pattern? Here's how I'd like to challenge you to think about your prayer life in 2013. Begin writing prayers. Yes. There is power in the spiritual discipline of being that intentional in your address to God. Make a prayer journal. On the left side of the page, write A-A-P-I-C. Address, attribute or action, petition, intention, conclusion, and write out next to each one of those, which of the persons of the Holy Trinity are you addressing? And why are you addressing him? What is your specific petition? And what are you claiming by faith will happen? And then conclude with a word of praise. Now, where this really gets exciting is if you will match that with your daily Bible reading, which I also encourage you to do. Every time you read the Bible, ask yourself, what does this passage say about who God is and how God interacts with humanity? And then pray your prayer, write your prayer based on what God has already revealed with certainty about who He is. Another person is struggling with forgiveness that I prayed for this morning. And I love the prayer of King David in Psalm 51. It begins, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly of my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Well, that's a collect. The God of mercy, of loving kindness and forgiveness. God, I want to acknowledge my sin. I want to be honest about who I am with this specific intention, God, that you would create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit for your honor and glory. I think that you stand on the edge of some really powerful things happening in prayer. If you'll follow this ancient pattern of the church, address, attribute, or action. Petition, specific intention, and a word of gratitude, praise, of thanksgiving. And I'd like for you to be persistent in that and see how over the weeks and months to come, you develop a more confident prayer life. And since God working in and through you as you persistently seek. I long for you to have the experience that the wise men had. They had been seeking for some 2 years. They'd made their way as far as Jerusalem. The star led them to Bethlehem. And here's what the Bible says. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. I long for you to see God at work and be overjoyed. I long for you to sense your place in God's plan of prayer for others and rejoice. And when that begins to happen, would you let me know? Would you encourage me by your own prayer life? Let's pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has revealed yourself clearly in the Lord Jesus Christ and wants to be revealed to the whole world. Grant in this new year that we might see you so clearly, that we might have such confidence in who you are and what you have done, that we can pray and live every day out of that confidence, believing that you are up to something good. And in a persistence that comes from trusting you, see you work mighty miracles through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We need food for the journey, and in the sacrament of Holy Communion, we find that food. The table of the Lord is open to all who would come, whether you are officially a member of this church or not. This morning, I invite you to follow along the liturgy. Your proper responses will be on the screen. And then you will be invited to come by the center aisle, receiving the sacrament, and then departing by the side aisles, remembering, I hope, to make a special offering for our Good Samaritan Fund. Let us prepare now to come to the table of the Lord. Hear now this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and seek to grow into His likeness. Let us draw near with faith, make our humble confession, and prepare to receive this holy sacrament as together we pray, we do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own goodness, but in your unfailing mercies. We are not worthy that you should receive us, but give your word and we shall be healed through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Because of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, I can say to you with great joy, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with the people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymns, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. You sent a star to guide the wise men to the place where Christ was born. And in your signs and wonders, in every age and throughout all the world, you have led people from darkness to light. By the baptism of your suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a living and holy sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them to be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The prophet Isaiah foretold the work of the suffering servant, Jesus Christ. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, the punishment for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. As you witness the breaking of the bread this day, may God's promise of a healing miracle begin in your life. Hallelujah. St. Paul said, Christ, our Passover lamb, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah. I invite you to join me in this ancient hymn of praise. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. O Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us your peace. And it is the peace of God that passes all understanding that is offered today at this holy table. Robin Payne will be assisting me in serving this morning. You're invited to come with the posture of a receiving disciple. Receive a consecrated wafer, ever so gently dip it into the chalice, and allow these two holy tokens to commingle together. For brothers and sisters, through faith, this is the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven and the cup of salvation. May they preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. You're invited to come now to the table of the Lord. Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I invite you to be seated for just another moment, and as the music plays quietly, complete your connection card. An opportunity for you to underline and commit to memory this principle of spiritual persistence. Ask, seek, knock, Matthew 7:7. Opportunity for you to indicate a desire to know more about being born again, what it means to have a personal relationship with Christ and be a part of this church. The bottom is an opportunity for you to share your heart with me. As I said in the message today, I pray for you by name and by need, and find that to be one of the most meaningful times in my week. As the music plays, I invite you to complete your card, then fold it over and leave it with an usher as you depart from the worship center this morning. Receive now this benediction, God's good word for your life, and the seal and the sign of our sure salvation, which is the cross of Jesus Christ. And now, as always, my friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. I claim this now, and I mark you as a servant of the one true God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, and Happy New Year.